have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good evening to our viewers of the newly launched podcast on Elation's Radio, Jot Us Alive. We have an upcoming event for girls between the ages of 13 and 19. It is Intro to Entrepreneurship and Mobile App Development, where you get to create and launch your own app on any Android and iOS device. Register at www.jotusa.org right now because spaces are limited.
Faith with true light sublime.
Here we are again. We are here again for another podcast. I want to thank you to our listeners for
I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to the Jadis Alive podcast. I am Cynthia R. Bennett, your host. And as always, I want to take a second to thank the owner of Elations Radio, Kimmy Kim, Ms. Kimmy Robertson, who happens to be our guest for tonight. So I am excited to hear what she's going to share. I know it's going to encourage and uplift and help someone. Here on the Jadis Alive podcast, we talk about issues, stories, resources, events, and ways to eradicate abuse of kinds in the community through education, edification, and encouragement. Tonight, I want to talk about questionnaires. I happened to read an article today about advocates saying simple questionnaires could save domestic violence victims. But before we get started with that, I want to share that the program, the summer pilot program that we have, developer program, where I was telling you that we have 4 slots left, is for young girls from ages 9 and 19, that we'll be teaching about encouragement, we will be teaching about mobile app development, basics of business education. I want you to know, with the help of God, that all slots are filled. We actually went over. We had the actual number we were talking about was maybe 10 to 12 girls. We have 17 girls. So I am so happy. And that program has started already. Today was the first day, and it was wonderful. So I want to thank you, our viewers. If you are part of, your daughters are part of that from this radio station, I want to thank you. And just be on the lookout for the fall session. If you, the viewer, did not get chance to enroll your girls from the age of 9 and 19 in the class, we will open it up again in August for the fall 2021. So with that being said, before we bring Ms. Kimmy on to talk about it, I ran across a questionnaire, an article that talks about advocates saying that some simple questions or questionnaire could save domestic violence victims. First have emphasized that the need for police and courts and victim advocates to increase the use of these assessments that's called lethality assessments. And what these are surveys based on years of research that help determine whether an abusive relationship might turn deadly. And I think we need those. In a report in 2005, they said that it was recommended to have this 20-question assessment that they would ask victims. And some of the questions that was on that survey would be, has the physical violence increased in severity or frequency over the past year? Or they were asked, has he ever used a weapon against you or threatened you with a lethal weapon? That is one of them. And then they were asked, do you believe he or she is capable of killing you? Those are just some of the things that I remember looking at it. And it says such assessments are widely recognized as a valuable tool addressing abuse by family members or intimate partners. And it also helped victims recognize when they might be in danger and documenting factors known to increase the likelihood of homicidal behavior, which include access to firearms or a history of strangulation. It is very clear the purpose, which to identify the victims, is whose victim is in the highest level of danger. There is this particular organization says, and if everybody uses the same assessment throughout, then all the agencies across disciplines, whether it's in this state, Missouri, or other states, have a common tool with which to identify the clients who have the most need and prioritize, because we want everybody, I just want to put it out there, I want everybody to be safe, regardless whether yours is more dangerous, whether it's just a misunderstanding. We want you to be safe. So I don't want you to say, because this person's situation may be more dire, that we want them to be more safe. No, I want to make it clear. We want everybody to be safe, but we just want to be able to assess the level of danger, try to assess it, so we won't have all of these cases as we've had in 2021 alone, where we've had mothers and children killed, and it was dealing with domestic violence. And to come to find out there was already a history or a trail of some sort before that, it escalated to this point. So we're just trying to find different ways, and they're just saying that studies actually show that repeat offenders are not only dangerous to the victims, but to law enforcement as well. And so they're saying if an abuser is believed to be high risk for harming others, that person is flagged so that the officers can have a heads up too, because if they're going to be violent against that person, there possibly can be a problem for them as well. And so they're saying that these agencies, some domestic violence agencies, are looking forward to a day when courts and lawmakers can make these lethality assessments a mandatory part of law enforcement training and make it mandatory. And so I just wanted to talk about that because there's an assessment, because if we do it across the board, no matter what jurisdiction, what organization, if we have the same set assessment or the same questions you can ask, not only that you can kind of gauge the severity of a situation, but it also let the victim kind of see for themselves, hey, you know what, I might need to take a look at this, because sometimes you have to look at it through a different lens to see your situation, because sometimes, you know, abuse survivors, and I'm one myself, sometimes they may not see exactly what others see as being severity. We might brush it off, oh, you know, I know him, he's not going to do that. No, well, sometimes it goes across the line, and sometimes people go further than what you or them expected they were going to do. So I just wanted to bring this to the community, because our goal is to eradicate abuse in the community. And so I'm going to always bring information, articles, latest stories, and we're going to talk about it. And also we're going to continue to have people, visitors and guests to come to the show to share their stories. And so with that being said, we're going to bring Kimmy Kim, the owner of Relations Radio. You know, and I was talking in a previous session, and I was saying, you know, you didn't go through what you went through just for you, or to not say nothing, or not to share. Somebody needs to hear, because I firmly believe that people's blessings can be locked up in your mouth. People's healings can be locked up in your mouth. People's deliverance can be locked up in your mouth. Why? Because sometimes other people, they hear you say something for it to click in their life. And know that God is not a respecter of persons. If he's done it for them, can do it for me. And so we have to make sure that when we go through stuff and when we go through it and we come out on the other side, that it's for a reason. It's for a reason to share. And so I'm not going to prolong the time. I want to bring our guest on, Ms. Kimmy Kim. Kimmy Robinson, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a good day, a good hot day in St. Louis. Yes. How about you?
Awesome. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I wanted to get right to it because I know our viewers are listening, and, you know, somebody may be in the wings. They may be in the wings.
Okay.
Somebody may be right on that edge. And they need to hear a word. They need to hear something. And because I talked about these assessments where they were saying, you know, we should do assessments, and I know you're in this situation, you know, do you want to kind of share some things that that you have come through and to share with somebody about, you know, how they can make it through? Because a lot of times when we go through these things, we think it's just by us by ourselves. We're the only one. Nobody's going to understand. Mm-hmm. But yet,
yes,
there is nothing new under the sun.
Exactly. Sure, I would love to.
So
well,
share with us your journey. What's your journey?
Sure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I just want to say, you know, going through domestic violence was embarrassing for me because I am the type of person that tends to ask the questions, But at this particular time, I didn't, because I was under assumption, because this person was a minister, he would know how to treat me. So guess what? I skipped the questions, and I skipped all of those things that I would know under normal circumstances. So as we continue on the dating, we got married within 6 months, and I saw the signs, but I just thought it was cute because, you know, you're thinking, well, he probably, you know, just nervous, or maybe he, you know, having a bad day. But the signs were there, and so I got married, and within 3 months, within the marriage, he tells me that my opinion doesn't matter. His opinions are my opinions, and I am supposed to submit to him. I have no value. I have no opinion. To make the long story short, it was blindsided, because I only understood the physical piece of abuse. I didn't understand the mental and the financial, the spiritual abuse, the everything that was just not physical. So I had all of that in my marriage, and I didn't understand it, because, you know, we were taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I truly can truly say that that stigma is such a lie. It does hurt. So to make a long story short,
that is not true. Words do hurt. Words sting.
Yes, they do. And you know what? It took me many years to really regain my self-confidence. I can truly say I've never had an insecurity issue until I left for good for the marriage, and I was very insecure. I was a puppet. I didn't know how I would make it, and I would never think me, a person like me, would be in this situation. I mean, if you met me prior to marriage, you know, I was like always upbeat, happy, and very helpful, and very secure in the Lord. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, but after I left, I felt like I was I was very hurt. I was very bitter, and I was like, you know, very,
like they just
very
sucked the life out of you, right?
Weak. Yes, exactly. Very weak, and I just didn't know what just happened, and so I had to fall back in love with Jesus. But my point is, to those is, it's not your fault, because I used to blame me. I would change myself. I would do this. It was never great. I'm good enough for him. And then God, this is what really got it, because I left 3 times, but the third time I was like ready to go. But before that happened, God told me, whatever it takes to get you peace, I am with you. So I would say, God, you hate divorce. But he said, yes, I do. Well, I will forgive you. Because, you know, I'm on that thing, because he would put those things in my mind that you can't leave because God hates divorce. But I'm saying to myself, God, you will not want me to be unhappy. This doesn't sound like a good God, a God that is all about love. So I had to go through so many journeys to get to that song by R. Kelly. Unfortunately, I know I don't like to mention his name, but he did make one song that was really relevant at the time. When woman is fed up, there is nothing that you can do about it. And so when you get fed up to the point where you don't care how you're going to make it, you don't care what people think, it's all about you on this survival mode. It's all about you just getting out, because you have to be careful. Some people have really escaped, and unfortunately, tragic happened to that person. So I had to really plan out a exit plan. And at that time, I had 7 angels, 7 different females from different backgrounds who had experienced the same things that I am experiencing, well, was experiencing at that time. So that's how I know that was from God, because when you're going through stuff, God will send you angels. And they don't tell you, they just tell you what they have gone through, how they did it, and they give you like advice or things that they would do, but they would never tell me to leave. So I really respected them about that, because they never did tell me to leave. And so that's what I have to say about God. They always survive. Yes.
Right. And one thing I wanted to point out, what you just said, you said you made an escape plan. You made an escape plan.
I had to.
You know, and
you
that was key. Yes. That's key to whether you leave safe or you leave sorry. You know, that is key.
Yes.
First of all, you can't be like, well, I'm just leaving. I'm going to pack my stuff and I'm just going. I'm done. I'm leaving. You don't announce that because it does is anger them. It escalates the situation. It makes it worse. You have to be wise. Anybody that's listening, you have to be wise. There's a scripture that says you never let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I'm paraphrasing it, but you don't always show your hand. You have to leave safe. And when you leave safe, you have to leave, you know, be wise, you know, especially if you got kids and you're trying to get out of here because, you know, you want to leave with your life intact. You want to try to just break away clean because it's going to be rocky, but you don't want to cause further friction by now I'm leaving you. I'm not. No, that makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that could put your life in danger as well as your kids. And then other people that may know you that try to help you, it could put them in danger as well. So you have to look at not only just you and your kids, but everybody that's involved in you because there has been cases down through the years. I don't know if you remember. A few years ago, and I can't remember if it was in Las Vegas or somewhere, and there was a domestic violence issue, and the person went to this party where the girl was and killed everybody. Now, there were other people that had nothing to do with him and her, but because they was there, he killed everybody. It was like 8 or 9 of them.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why I would say I wanted to just bring that out, what you said. You know, if anybody that's listening, viewers, if you don't walk away from anything today other than what we talked about, make sure you listen to what Kimmy said.
And keep in mind, I had 2 little ones. I had a 6-month-year-old, 1, and a 3-year-old. But my main escape. I had to make sure that my youngest was able to see throughout the entire night because as a single parent and you don't know how you're going to make it, you need to sleep. So when I realized that she starts sleeping throughout the entire night at 6 months, I start planning. So that is key. And I did it with
that's important because I have never heard that in many years where a person hadn't really waited till the baby can sleep all through the night. That's wisdom. That is something that's key for somebody, especially if you're leaving with small kids. You want to make sure that's priceless. That is priceless. Make sure that they can sleep through the night because you don't want the baby to wake up wanting a bottle at 4 o'clock and stuff and screaming and hollering, then wake up. You know, it just botched the plans. You know, they're babies. They don't know. But that was key planning on your part. I'm glad you brought that out. I have never heard that. But that is key. That is good planning on your part.
Yeah, that was that was all God. Because I knew that I wouldn't have to sit over for take anything but a crib, a couch, and our clothes. And everything else I left at the house. So I was like, Tina Turner, I just want my name back. You can have all that stuff. You know, I'd rather have my peace of mind than anything. Stuff I can regain. But it took some time to get here.
And it's sad about it, what you're saying, too, is because the person is a minister. And, you know, last week, and actually last 3 weeks, and actually this week, I am doing a session at a church. This one is on Zoom about abuse in the church and how the church can be an advocate.
Yeah.
You know, how can you help people and stuff? And I always talked about that. I talked about it, you know, don't re-traumatize the person. You know, don't try to be the one-stop shop. If you don't know what you're doing, you refer. Because you can re-traumatize that person. And you know, we know prayer changes things. I'm a component of prayer. I'm a believer in prayer. I pray all the time. But it takes more than prayer. Faith without works is dead. And if you have 2 people and you know that person is in an abusive situation, don't just tell them we go pray and send them back home. They got to go back home to that. We need some action. We need a plan. We need to help them.
Can I say something? Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay. Church of God in Christ, some bullying divorces, right? They are so against. So we were part of Church of God in Christ. And at that Sunday, we went to church together, and his pastor at this time spoke on love. And he said, if a man is not loving you and treating you and doing the things he's supposed to be doing, you leave him. That is not love. And he looked right at me, girl. I could truly say he knew what was going on because he looked right at me as he was preaching. You know, Church of God in Christ don't believe in divorces. They don't. Mm-hmm. But he announced if someone is not is abusing you mentally, physically, emotionally, you leave. That is not of God. And mm-hmm. they don't believe in divorces. And so that was another sign. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and but God doesn't want, you know, he didn't create you for being a pouncing ball, you know. He didn't create
right.
you. And
right.
so I'm glad you brought that up because somebody that's listening to this is in bondage because of religion.
Mm.
They're in bondage.
Yes.
Let me take that back. Not because of religion. They're in bondage because of their denomination, whatever. You
yes.
know, like you said,
yes.
you mentioned that one. I didn't. And how they
yes.
don't agree to a divorce. But mm-hmm. it's so many women, and I'm talking about not even
mm-hmm.
just women. Let me just go there. It's so many first ladies in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's miserable. Because
yeah.
they hide behind them big old hats because they don't want
yeah.
some people to see how they really feel and what they're going through. And see, and my thing is, for those that's listening, if you know your first lady is, you know, maybe not herself or she's not as friendly, don't be talking about, oh, she just this and that. You don't know what that woman's going through behind closed door, and she still got to come and sit up at that church. You know, empathize with them.
Yes.
Because they don't
yes.
have somebody they can talk to because they have to play the part. They have to keep the front. You know, they don't, you know, they always say you don't want to split the church. You know, they always put that on the woman. Why? I don't know.
Yes.
But you don't know what
yes.
that person is going through. You know?
Exactly.
And that's what we have to do. We have to talk more and have those discussions, have that type of conversation in the church. Well,
yes,
there's
you
no
do.
Sense of you being bound in the church. Being bound. Mm-hmm. Understand, no, I'm not going to tell you to leave your husband. I don't tell you to leave your husband when you ain't in church. I just put the information before you, and I let you make the decision. That's the part of the education and the empowering. But it's
yeah.
allow you to make the decision about your life. And this is something that is so needed in the church because abuse is in the church. Abuse people going to church. They go to church. And then
yes.
they got to go back home and deal with that. Well, we got to be a haven. We got to be a part of the community because the church is, you know, when we was growing up, the church was the beacon in the community.
Yes.
And so if we still want to help people and we still want to be there, we have to be an advocate. We have to act as an advocate in the community as well and be able to understand. Yes, we know people come with baggage and stuff. But we don't want to re-traumatize them while they're there. When we're trying to get them saved and we're, you know, telling them about the love of God, but then we turn around and we can re-traumatize them not only by our mouths but even by our actions, how we don't address stuff. Or we try to look the other way because it's a
yeah.
certain particular person who pays tithes in the church big time or a person that has a title. It doesn't matter about the title. You have to deal with the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to, but
hallelujah.
I want to,
yes.
I just wanted to share that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want everybody to realize that make an escape plan. Now, we're not telling you to go divorce your husband.
No.
I didn't
no,
say
no,
that,
no, no.
and my,
no,
my guest
no,
did not
no.
say that. We're just saying
no.
make an escape plan. Make an escape plan. Be wise when you leave or if you have to go and just go somewhere and get your mind, you know, rejuvenated or get some rest. Be wise about it's not when you leave, it's how you leave. That's even in a relationship. That's even when you're going leaving a church. It's not when you leave a church, it's how you leave. Because you never know if you got to go back. And that's even in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not when you leave, it's how you leave. And that's even this in this type of relationship because you want to be able to have life after, even if you decide never to go back or if some things change, whatever God do for your life. But how you leave plays an important part of the success that you have. Amen? I appreciate that.
That is so
true. I am glad.
This is good.
Huh?
This is good.
Straight
you
to
are
punch,
amazing.
Right?
Yes, but you're so good about the knowledge. That is so true. It's how you do things. It is.
Yeah, it's how
it
you
really
do
is.
Things. So I am excited. I am excited. And you guys, remember, if you are facing any type of domestic abuse or you know someone who is, you can call Jadifa at 1-800-292-2145. You can go to our website at Jadifa, JADASA.org. Or you can reach the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE for safe. Now, I want you to remember that it is Jadifa 24/7, 365 days a year, all day, every day. And with that being said, I want you to be safe, I want you to be well, and I want you to be whole. Good night.
And you're down for the count. You feel like life has thrown you blows, and God ain't been around. But I've come to encourage you, so hold your head high. Know that God is in your corner now, inner life. You are a winner, you just can't lose. Overcame more than a conqueror, Jesus in you.